I just can't have any social life right now.
Don't worry about it. We're just having coffee. We'll be antisocial.
Welcome, listeners, to another Damn Fine Espresso. I'm joined here this morning by Matt. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, Sam.
To talk about deleted scenes. Now, Matt, are you still a physical media collector? DVDs, Blu-rays?
Yes. I mean, those people who basically read our blog posts, they will see that, for instance, I'm a big, big Criterion fan, not to say addict. And by now, I do probably have, with the Criterions, I've probably got a couple of hundred. With DVDs, Blu-rays altogether, I've got probably somewhere around 1,200, 1,300, which is crazy, I know. But hey, you know, you can't trust streamers to keep the stuff around forever. Plus, I also like having a really nice physical edition. What about you?
Same thing. I think from the point DVDs started to come out in the late 1990s, I was a fan, not just because, of course, they provide often very good versions of the films themselves, be it restored versions and great, audio and video quality, but I guess the special features, right? The extras, the things on the side. And I think one thing that was almost a standard feature from the beginning was like snippets of bits and pieces you hadn't seen from the film, these so-called deleted scenes. How did you feel about them, or how do you feel about them being a standard feature of almost any edition of such a film?
It has changed over time. I would say that when DVDs first came out and when I got my first DVD, I thought, this is amazing, this is cool, because it is not something that was widely available at the time. I remember when I got my very first DVD, which I think was The Sixth Sense, and just having these specials on there. You know, every now and then on TV, you might see a making of, but usually those were kind of more advertising, like extended trailers for the movies. And suddenly you started having extra features that were substantial. As you said, deleted scenes showing you different versions of what a film might have been like, or different takes on a single scene. Or you had commentary tracks. I loved commentary tracks for a long time. This did change over time. For one thing, it's just, I don't have time anymore to watch all these things with all the films that I watch, with all the series that I watch, and with all the physical media I've got. I mean, again, with Criterion, you sometimes have special features that extend into several hours. If I was still a student, or if I was just shortly after uni, I would still love them, I would still watch them, but I just do not have the time. Added to which, I think after a while they started becoming, how should I say this? You know, if you have features that you can put on the back of the box, obviously they would add those features to make people buy the DVD or buy the Blu-ray, which didn't necessarily mean that all of these features were very interesting. So you started having all these deleted scenes that were basically just boring connecting bits.
Absolutely. I think it also comes down to, you know, if you really want to study a film and really want to get into all the material that is there, it's still a fascinating thing to have. But yeah, over time, you run out of time and patience to really check out which of those features and which of those scenes is really worthwhile. But I think there's such widely different types of deleted scenes. And you already mentioned the little connecting bits. So I was wondering if you had to do a typology of deleted scenes, which ones would you say over time were the ones that were like worthwhile or fascinating or really, you know, something that added to the movie? And which are the types that you think, well, you know, it's nice to have, but I can easily do without? Can you say that?
Good question. Obviously, it depends from film to film. But I think what I started to get into more over time, at the time at least, and I'm now thinking back 10, 15 years, was versions of the film that included those scenes, you know, like special editions, like director's cuts. I'm thinking here especially of the Lord of the Rings films. When those came out, I mean, it was a big, big event of a kind that I think even Barbenheimer can't compare to. When then the special editions came out, or the extended editions rather, you really had like two versions of the film that both had their strengths and their weaknesses. And the deleted scenes were kind of, they were put into a context. And I have to say that for a while, I really liked that, because you could really see, okay, here's one version of the film, here's another version of the film, and what kind of decisions were taken. So the kind of out of context deleted scenes, I started to really lose interest in. How about you?
Well, I particularly remember, I mean, Lord of the Rings obviously was a big thing for us as well when we watched, you know, the 3-hour versions in a row. And then when the 4-hour versions came out, this kind of became slightly cumbersome, but you had the chance to see the film in so much more depth and detail. Obviously also, if you had read the books and if you were excited about finding out all the bits they had put into the longer version. I remember Titanic in particular. I remember that was kind of like, you know, the mythology around all the bits and pieces they had taken out, and this whole plot strand of Jack and Rose being chased by Billy Zane's goon. And you were never able to see those scenes until the first DVD, then Blu-ray editions came out, or maybe the very first video version had a special edition second tape, I remember, that I bought. So it's almost like a myth around certain films that you hear about these deleted scenes that obviously at the beginning they didn't release, and now over time, slowly and surely, they have started to, you know, re-release them to produce another, especially a fan version or a, I don't know, 25th anniversary edition. So those are the kinds of things you heard about. And then once they came out and once you were actually able to see them, they also lost some of that fascination. So I think there's also a little bit of that probably once this holy grail of deleted scene has been opened up, yeah, it's nice to have, but it kind of also loses part of that appeal, maybe.
I think one thing that also came into it, again, in the kind of overlap between deleted scenes and special editions or director's cuts, was there were films that, due to studio mandate, had to be cut down to, I don't know, 2 hours, or they took out certain scenes that were perhaps a bit more, how should I say this, difficult for viewers. So you had films that came out that in the original, if you can call it original version, were not really liked. Like, for instance, I don't know, do you remember Ridley Scott's Kingdom of Heaven, which was really not particularly liked by critics or audiences? And then they brought out a DVD or a Blu-ray, which was the, I think it was called Director's Cut, where suddenly characters started to make sense, motivations started to make sense. As you said, there was an addition of detail, but also of depth. And the film actually, this was one of those films which I thought, it's just the short version was not good. The longer version was still not up there with Scott's classics, but it was a more complete film. It was a more rounded film. It was even a film that felt like it flowed better. So the longer version felt shorter than the shorter compromised version.
Mm-hmm. And you bring an interesting topic up, of course, that the question of labeling, what is that version now? Is it just little deleted scenes that somehow were quirky, but a bit too much, a bit too long? Or are we talking then about versions that really change the nature of the film once you put them back in, if you can watch them all in a row? And I think that makes that typology so fascinating. And I think the two movies we decided to talk about today, also in our connection to our Lost Summer series that is going on at the moment, are two films by David Lynch that we recently talked about in our dedicated episode on the director. We'll talk about Blue Velvet on the one hand once more, and Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me, both of which have had this mythology of missing scenes over a long period of time after they came out, and fans were, you know, speculating and you know, really interested in seeing these additional scenes to see if the films would have been better depending on where they stood on the originals, and both of which had later releases. Blue Velvet, I think 2011, these additional 50 minutes, 50 plus minutes came out. And I think it was like 2014 when Fire Walk With Me had an hour and a half additional material come out. So I know, Matt, you're a dedicated enthusiast for a lot of David Lynch's work as well. What significance did those additional versions, deleted scenes, new versions have for you before you actually saw them? Were you aware of these missing bits?
I think with Fire Walk With Me, I was definitely aware of them because already, you know, probably 10, even 15 years earlier on the internet, you basically started hearing rumors about, you know, hey, here's the shooting script and there are all those scenes. And then someone would say, I've heard that actually those scenes were shot and then edited out. So you had this, how should I say it, you know, almost kind of X-Files-ish, you know, rumors and mysteries and lore. I'm sure that, the, you know, the hardcore fans had these murder walls at home with, you know, little notes of, you know, pieces of paper saying, okay, there's this scene with Big Ed Hurley and Nadine Hurley, apparently I've heard about. This probably connects to that and it probably fits in here. So I'd heard about them for a long time, and over time you basically got more and more information. I hadn't seen them. I was, of course, curious, especially with Fire Walk With Me, because that film, as we talked about in the June episode, was at the beginning really disliked again by critics and by fans, and the fans especially disliked it because it was not what they expected of Twin Peaks. They expected something with the label Twin Peaks on it to be much more about Twin Peaks, which means also much more about all of the characters, you know, big and small, the side characters, the side stories, the funny bits, the quirky bits, and that stuff that Fire Walk With Me did not have. Again, we talked about this. I said that I think the film as it was released is a bit of a wake-up call to fans not to become too enamored of the cozy, quirky Lynch-type stuff. But that material was there. You heard about it. So when you also first saw it, it was exciting, I have to say, you know, seeing those scenes, because they're also, differently to other deleted scenes in other films, they underwent post-production. They were cut at a stage when they already had been integrated into the film. They look like the rest of the film. They have the same cinematic quality. Plus, it's nice, you know, to revisit characters that you hadn't seen since the end of season two of Twin Peaks. So it was exciting in that sense, but it was also an eye-opener. I think the missing bits, which add up to 91 minutes, they basically show you a completely different version of the film, and that highlights which version of the film we got instead. What about you with Blue Velvet? I mean, what was your impression of the scenes? Are they also kind of cinema quality? Are they just a curiosity? Or do they also hint at a different film?
I think in terms of quality, they do, you know, measure up with what you see in Blue Velvet in the original, the actual cut version that we're familiar with. They add bits that I think were partly interesting, but on the whole unnecessary. You know, I went through the 50 minutes looking at the different moments, especially at the beginning of the film. I feel especially the first third would have been much longer with these scenes. There's a whole segment where you see Kelly MacLachlan's character, Jeffrey, at college. And he has a girlfriend, and, you know, he only learns about the heart attack of his father at the beginning over time. So it takes quite a long time until he's actually going home. And you see how he discusses this with his friends. He's at some kind of party. And there's this one scene that I was particularly not disturbed by, but I think that took away something from the film that I think I was glad that they took out. You see Jeffrey kind of at one of these school balls, and he watches a couple make out downstairs in a kind of like a creepy fashion. He observes them, and he observes their interactions. And I think it took away from the fact that he later on, with Isabella Rossellini's character, and obviously watching her and Dennis Hopper and the going on in her apartment, it took away from this voyeuristic quality. If you say from the beginning, well, he is already kind of like a creepy voyeur. And I think I was glad that this was taken out, because it would have taken away from the experience of really getting, you know, him down into this, I don't know, maelstrom, or this fascination with the dark side of Lumberton. And then there's a whole lot of material that shows him around his home with his mom and his aunt. There's these quirky little scenes. The aunt at one point is very afraid of insects, of the infestation of ants in her home. And I feel that was quirky, and it kind of got you into the whole, you know, underbelly of Lumberton atmosphere. It had a little bit of a Twin Peaks quality, I felt. You know, it was almost like, I mean, I think we talked about this in our dedicated episode, that in a way Blue Velvet is a bit of a blueprint of what Twin Peaks later does, especially with the side characters. And I felt the additional material had a lot of this quality that you saw more of Jeffrey at the, you know, morning coffee with his mom, his aunt, and there's kind of a weird atmosphere between them. Or there's these fears of the aunt and the mother for Jeffrey and for what goes on, these premonitions almost. And some of them had this quality of what they now see watching Twin Peaks for the first time, also having these little vignettes almost. And I think some of them were interesting, but I think Blue Velvet profited from the fact that they cut this down much more to the essence of, you know, Jeffrey going on this investigation, taking Laura Dern along, getting to know Dorothy and her secret and her dark places, and really going on that path a little bit more straightforwardly than if all these scenes had been included. How did you feel about the Blue Velvet 50 minutes? Do you have similar impressions of them?
I would say so, yes. I think it's also a different situation because with Blue Velvet, you just have the film. And as you said, the film that you first seen is also compact. It's the original. So that's what you compare to. So with each thing that you would add, you ask yourself, does it add something? Does it take something away? Does it perhaps give a reveal too early, as you said? Because it makes sense that we only see what's underneath the kind of clean Boy Scout surface later on. So why would you reveal that early unless you're telling a very different story from the one that we got in the released cut? I think with Twin Peaks, the situation is different because people watched the series first, so they had different expectations going in. They expected these things and then they weren't there, which I think shifts the conversation a bit.
It does. And I think now, especially watching the series, I imagine as a fan, you would have been extremely hungry for these scenes with the characters that you started to become fond of. And then as they were missing, you were kind of annoyed at the fact that they weren't in there, that all these little story strands that maybe were some of your favorites had been abandoned to focus so much on Laura Palmer and her last days. And then the prologue that we talked about with the murder investigation that does not take place among the Twin Peaks characters. So I think probably that must have been much more satisfying to then finally see these bits and pieces. But how do you feel about seeing them out? Can they be seen outside of Fire Walk With Me? Or are they just a quirky assembly of bits and pieces? As a Twin Peaks fan who did not see Fire Walk With Me, would they make sense?
I would say someone who's just seen the film, who then watches these scenes, will probably go like, what? Not because they're confusing, not because they're surreal, but because they're non sequiturs. And I think the series has these non sequiturs and it kind of adds to the charm of it. But if you just watch the film, I think you can all, a bit like you hadn't seen the series, you just seen the first couple of episodes at the time and then basically noped out back then. So I think you can watch the film as its own thing. You miss out on certain things, but I don't think the things that you miss out on will be re-added by these missing pieces. And I think calling them missing pieces is perhaps a bit, it's fan service. These are not pieces that are missing from the film. They are pieces that did not belong in the film that Lynch finally made. At the same time, it is nice to see this, you know, what could have been. I think watching the missing pieces shortly after watching Fire Walk With Me, I did think, I can see how this could almost be put together into a Twin Peaks Season 0 kind of mini-series, 4 episodes. You could do that. It would be a different beast. It would have a different tone. It would have a different emphasis. It would not be the tragedy of Laura Palmer to the same extent. But it could be interesting. And in that respect, I don't know the world of fan edits very well, but there are fan edits both of Blue Velvet that include some or all of the deleted scenes. And there are at least 2 big fan edits of Fire Walk With Me. One of them adds all of the scenes. One of them adds some of the scenes. And I definitely want to seek them out and watch them just to see what could have been or what other takes there are, not because I'm looking for the proper version of the film, which fans sometimes do. I think fans sometimes have this idea, the more complete, the better, the longer, the better, as if films were defined by quantity rather than quality. And that I dislike, this fan idea of, and also fan service, you know, that you're being serviced. There's something rather pandering to that idea. But I like the idea that fans have the option with deleted scenes of taking them, experimenting with them, and coming up with other versions that are not like canon, that are not official, but that still show you this could have been. And perhaps it's exactly that comparison between what could have been and what was, again, highlights what's important, what's the heart of these films.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think in the present day, where you have these focus on, you know, series, next seasons, and the streaming services that provide so much material with their series also on social media, I'm thinking, or, you know, additional material that you can see anywhere, that maybe this idea of that the more the better has become even stronger, that there's this sense of, you know, let's make the most complete version and put everything in, even though it takes away from the quality of the film. And I think one great difference and one great advantage of a feature film is that these decisions had to be made. There was this format of, you know, 90 minutes or 2 hours or 2.5, where cinema owners would say, you know, we can't show the movie enough in a day, so it's going to decrease our profits. Studios would step in. And of course, this has also major disadvantages for certain films that had to be cut down to a certain length and lost important bits and pieces and maybe compromised the film. But I think on the positive side, then focusing and thinking, well, what is really the main thing we want to do with this film? What is the takeaway we want to put into these 2 hours? And I think both Blue Velvet and Fire Walk With Me have a very strong sense of purpose and direction, with Twin Peaks, I think, very different from the expectations that audiences had at the time. But there is a journey that they tell in a certain way that I think is not necessarily improved by these scenes, I feel. At least I can speak from the side of Blue Velvet, which I adore as a film as it is. I think none of these scenes had to be in there, and none of them I went like, oh yeah, that's too bad they didn't put this in, because it would have really, really improved this. It would have really deepened this understanding for this character or for this theme. No, I think it still feels like the original has this flow and this arc, and from beginning to end feels very much like this. This, I think we said in our episode, kind of our fake whole, right? It feels very complete, and the way it is seems very, yeah, intentional. And I feel both films tell a very different story without these scenes that would be compromised by adding them permanently.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I mean, as you say, it's the flow that is changed. It's the pacing and it's the tone. And I think that's also one of the things, as I said, I've not watched any of the fan edits, but with the two big Fire Walk With Me fan edits, some people say they prefer the one that doesn't add everything, because the one that does add everything suffers from tonal whiplash. You might go from a scene which basically shows you Laura's suffering, her sexual abuse, and you go to a quirky scene with Pete Martell and 2x4 woodcuts. I could imagine that a version like that, which on purpose kind of gives you that whiplash, could have worked, but Lynch decided against it, and he decided against it for a reason. It's also, I mean, sometimes you get fans discussing deleted scenes and then they ask, you know, but did this really happen? Is this the real version? And that strikes me as a weird way of looking at film. It's like, none of this really happened. It's a story. They filmed this in a studio. Frodo did not really meet this character on his travels through Middle Earth. I can see a discussion where they ask, you know, does it make for a better story, as you just did? But the whole canon idea when it comes to deleted scenes and to special editions is one that I find weird. I mean, I also think, you know, suspension of disbelief, absolutely. Immerse yourself in stories, totally. But the moment you start saying, is this really something that happened, or by deleting it, did it not happen? It strikes me as misunderstanding the nature of fiction.
Absolutely. I think there's this hyper immersion in these worlds. And I think streaming series, again, are a good example for that. Constantly adding another season and kind of also the idea of, obviously, of prequels and sequels that we talked about in the past, that there is no proper beginning and end anymore. And I think what I appreciate about feature films, standalone films, and it's the same, I think, with books as well, is that, yeah, a strong beginning is a fantastic quality that a story of any kind can have and sometimes must have, but also a proper ending. And I think sometimes something that is so contained within those bookends is really important and strong. And I sometimes don't need, and I think it also fizzles out the quality of, obviously, the original and of this book and quality, if you then just start adding little bits and pieces in between, but also huge chunks like this happened before and this could have happened after. And, you know, if you look at series like Star Wars, obviously the Star Wars universe, any universe that has been created over the past 10, 15 years, I think suffers from that as well, that in a way you lose these beginnings and endings, and it just becomes this huge blob of characters and story strands. And I find myself more confused, but maybe that's also a generational thing. Maybe if you grew up in this and this was, these universes were there from the beginning, you just deal with it. You depend on all these story strands somehow continuing. But I think it's a bit deceptive. I think there is huge quality in beginnings and endings.
And there's also something very important about gaps, you know, leaving things out, which is what deleted scenes are totally about. It's this stuff is left out, and leaving it out means something. I think there's also, again, with certain fan cultures, especially this notion of, yeah, there's such a thing as completeness. There's such a thing as, oh, you want to know what happened before and after and during? What did Bobby Briggs do when Laura did that? And I think that, again, it speaks to this idea of watching these stories as real things that happen to real people. And that ignores the fact that stories are shaped. They're shaped by storytellers. Blue Velvet and Fire Walk With Me were shaped by Lynch and his collaborators for a reason. Now, that doesn't mean that it's not interesting to see what decisions are made along the way. And in that respect, I think when I now watch deleted scenes, very often, I like them to come with, for instance, a comment by the director, where the director says, look, here's a scene that we did that we really liked out of context, but we left it out for this and this and this reason. And then you watch the scene. There's something of a film school aspect about this, which I really enjoy. And that, to me, I think by now makes more sense than the whole completeness. Give me more, because I want it all.
It's the same for me. I do watch them if they're kind of like put in context, if you have some additional information with them. And I think, yeah, also see the creative process behind them. I think that's when deleted scenes, especially on physical media, really become an added value and not just something to advertise and to stuff your storage space full with because you can. What I found curious also is that over time, you know, that more and more of these deleted scenes come out. So there's also this, obviously, this search for additional material, probably also to create new versions and create new editions and to service that fan base that is maybe craving or has read about. I mean, there's still movies that have purposedly these scenes that are missing, these bits that were lost, and we'll talk about them in another of our summer series episodes. So listeners, please check out our next Lost Summer episode as well. But yeah, it really depends on what they bring to the table about the appreciation of the film. And I think Fire Walk With Me is a good example that this content that fans had with it, that critics had with it, I think had to do a lot with decisions of storytelling by Lynch and the focus that he was putting on this film compared to the series and all the expectations and all the avenues he could have taken. And I think, yeah, it makes the film, even though it's so controversial, but it makes it a better film for it, I think.
Absolutely. And I mean, since we both mentioned series and streaming and fans, if I now look at something like the trailers for Stranger Things season 5, the final season, I kind of get the impression that that is the other end of this development, where I get the impression already watching the trailer that, you know, if we're going to get episodes that are going to be stretched out over 3 release dates with episodes being feature length, I get the impression that with those kind of fan favorites, we are from the beginning getting the special edition, we're getting the director's cut. And it makes me think, could I just have the release where they actually dared to make certain decisions about what can be taken out?
Absolutely. I mean, on the side of Stranger Things, my argument has always been they had material for one season. That season was very good. They should have left it at that. But I'm on the extreme end of not being a particular fan of anything that came after, being quite a big fan of the original. But yeah, maybe the question is, how much material have you actually got in terms of like good storytelling? And could you also have just left it at, you know, beginning and end again? Can you do one season? But I think in the present context, with studios obviously latching on to chances to, you know, create a fan base and to add more and more seasons, this endless continuation and the imagination of how this story could have continued and how these characters could have developed over time is, of course, very prevalent and very enticing. And I'm not sure if we're seeing an end to this, or rather we're in the middle of this development that is unstoppable, so that maybe deleted scenes will not feature anymore because everything has already been put in. But that's maybe a question for the future. I don't know if you have any take on this.
I think if we get there, I mean, especially with series, I definitely have the impression that more and more series are too long and would be improved by being shortened, possibly even into a film. So again, I think we want more deleted scenes, or I want more deleted scenes in the sense of I want storytellers and filmmakers to think about what does this add? Does it need to be in there? It's not that I want all films to be 90 minutes. It's nice to have 90-minute films every now and then, but you also need the 7.5-hour Satan Tangos by Bellator. But what we see, what's in there, should be the end result of a process of choice. And if I don't see that, I'm basically going to get the impression that they're just trying to pander to fans of a certain kind, and those kind of fans don't want good storytelling. They want content. They want more and more content. And I want good stories, not content.
Yeah, content is such a prevalent expression at the moment on so many levels. I am on the other end of this development, that I start to appreciate films that are 90 minutes or around 90 minutes and just, you know, appreciate them for what they bring to the table in terms of that's what there is. There's no more, there's no less. I don't need to watch any deleted scenes. Maybe there are no deleted scenes of any particular value. And just enjoy the fact that something can be completed in 90 minutes. There's also a certain very satisfying quality to that. But I guess that's a counter reaction, maybe a counter movement that we'll see in the future.
For me, it's a bit like, you know, there's this metaphor about, you know, stonemasonry creating a statue out of rock, which you do by cutting away pieces of stone to reveal the statue that's in there. Obviously, that's a bit sentimentalized, but I think with film, it's a bit similar. You know, you have the piece of rock and then you cut away till you have the end result. And deleted scenes by now, to me, are a bit like, you know, the little bits of rock that are left on the floor. I don't need to look at them to know that Michelangelo's David is a work of art. You know, the deleted scenes are not something that adds to the overall thing.
That's a beautiful image, maybe to end on, the bits on the floor. I mean, we also say on the cutting room floor, so I guess that really supports that image as well. Are these pieces really worth picking up and gluing back into the film or making them available is a big question. And I think one that needs to be answered better by studios, by directors, and maybe also by fans in the future.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Matt, for sharing these impressions with me and for having that discussion on deleted scenes. And listeners, as announced, please keep listening, especially to our summer series where everything revolves around things lost in the world of cinema. And join us again when we are here for a Damn Fine Espresso. Bye-bye.
Bye.